Well, good morning.
Brother
Mark is right about sharing. In actuality, I had two messages that I was have been burning in my bones, but I had to choose one. After prayer and meditation, I think this one is a precursor for the next one, or it, although they're not really related substantially, this one would probably have to be given first. I like the memory verse from this morning. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Arthur Katz said, "Our love for truth is measured by how far towards perishing we are willing to go without seeking to save ourselves with a lie."
Right.
Now, that's kind of what I want to talk about today. You know, as we survey the landscape around us, There's the distinctive quality in our land of rebellion. Rebellion just seems to rule the day. Rebels are everywhere, resisting God, resisting authority in every shape and form that you can find it. There are rebels everywhere. Just it doesn't take a lot just to look around and to see that. And you know what's alarming to me really is not that there are so many false prophets out there. Not that there are so many false gospels and false Jesuses. That really doesn't alarm me. We kind of expect that from the words that Jesus said. What really alarms me is the overwhelming acceptance of such. Not only by the world, but in a lot of the conservative church. They just accept these things and these teachings and these false ideologies and these false ideas that are propagated by these liars, by these rebels of God who have their own agenda and have their own things to say and do. For instance, there was, as I was preaching at a youth rock concert, we was preaching outdoors, I wasn't part of the that thing, but it was in Gothic form, these Gothic Christians who were having this rock and roll concert, and as we were preaching there and contending for the truth and trying to bring light into that darkness, one of the youth leaders there said, "What are these children? They're seeking God. Why are you?" And I thought, they're not seeking God. If the Bible tells us if we seek God, we're going to find God. We're not going to find the devil. We're not going to start emulating the ways of darkness if we are after and if we're seeking God.
Right.
So that's just deception. And it was propagated by the false ideologies and false preachers and false teachers. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 17. In Proverbs chapter 17, and in verses 10 and 11, the Bible says, "A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him." Let's turn to Numbers chapter 16. The idea of rebellion in our days has been really watered down. It's been changed into different things. It's been accepted under the guise of tolerance. And in Numbers chapter 16, we have the rebellion of Korah and his elk coming against Moses, the rightful authority of God. Now Korah, the son of Ishar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, "Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do. Take you censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to Himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? Is this a small thing that God has called you to? And yet you're not satisfied? You want more? You want more power? More prestige? More preeminence? And he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi with thee. And seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord? And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, We will not come up. It is a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And Moses was very wroth and said unto him, unto the Lord, Respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, Be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they, and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also, and Aaron, each of you, his censer. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertaineth unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertaineth unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertaineth to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. But that wasn't enough. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. For they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar the son of Aaron the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. The censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for covering of the altar. For they offered them before the Lord, therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers, wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger, which is not of the seed of Aaron, come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and his company, as the Lord said unto him by the hand of Moses. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among the congregation, that I may consume them, as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700. Beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. The story of the rebellion of Korah, and not only the rebellion of Korah and his little gang of sympathizers that he could pull around him, but the seed of discontent was sowed there among the children of Israel, and after Korah and Abiram and Dathan were taken care of, still that seed grew up and bore fruit.
Right.
And God sent forth a plague to take care of continued rebellion in that group. I want to talk to us this morning about the building blocks of rebellion. Warning signs of a rebellious heart. What we need to look for within ourselves. What we need to be aware of with people as we interact with them on a daily basis. We need to understand and to watch for things, so that we can either stay a close distance, a far distance from rebellion and those who instigate and incite rebellion, and that we can watch for it in our own hearts and understand that any slight rising of any rebellion against God and against His Word leads to death.
Right.
Rebellion is expressed in many and various forms. And usually it comes forth, as we look for it, in words. It comes forth in thoughts, and of course in actions it springs forth. But we need to watch for all of these things. The words that we speak, the thoughts that we entertain, and the actions that we take. We live in a culture, as I said before, that is readily given over to rebellion. Everywhere you look, rebellion is either ignored or it's rewarded. It's an amazing thing to look around and to see this. And to know that very thing could come into the church and could undermine the church and the authority of the church is staggering to think about. And yet, as you look around the church world, this is all we see. We see the same things working in the church world as is working in the children of disobedience
right. In
the world. It is our moment by moment responses to authority that make us either lovers of truth or rebels fleeing from it. Each successive moment could find us either submissive or rebellious. If we have not our hearts in tune with the Word of God and in tune with the things going on, we could find ourselves rebellious at any given moment. This is why we need to watch our hearts, to compare it with the Word of God, not with the people outside, not with our brothers that are sitting next to us. We need to compare ourselves with the Word of God, look into the perfect law of liberty, and see what that says.
Amen.
I was talking to Isaac the other day about why is it that some people that call themselves Christians just don't understand this issue of holiness. And the reason is, it's because they don't compare themselves with the Scriptures. Jesus is not the standard. As long as they stay a little bit above the standards of the world, then they say, well, that's holiness. But that's wrong. And that's death.
Right.
Holiness is found in the Scriptures. Holiness is found among the words of Christ. It's not found by comparing myself to the minions, to the children of disobedient who are down at the beach today, and just because I have on more clothes than them, it makes me holy. Each successive moment can find us either a rebel or submissive to authority. And this is not a 60-40 thing. Well, I'm 60% submissive. No, no, no. You're either 100% submissive or you're a rebel.
Right.
That's just the way it is. That's just the standard. That's why God said, if you break one commandment, you're guilty of all. Because you're found transgressors before God. I'm going to bring out some points in these building blocks of rebellion. First, there is resisting and rejecting truth and God-ordained authority. You know, we have the first rebellion in the Bible spoken of in Genesis chapter 3. The first one that we read about. There was one before that. But the one that we read about, the rebellion of man toward God, we see in Genesis chapter 3. Where Adam and Eve took it upon themselves. They resisted truth. They resisted God's authority and put it somewhere else. And they chose to do their own thing. They were deceived and they ate from the tree. And the Bible says that day Adam died. Yet he was still walking around. The soul of Adam was dead. Or the spirit. It was separated from God. And he was found a transgressor. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 7, but they refused to hearken and pull away the shoulder and stop their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in His Spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. They rejected truth. This is talking about they turn their ear from it, turn their shoulder away. I won't hear this law. I will not have this man to rule over me. Listen to me. Rebels are not just sheep that have gone astray. Rebels are an active warring against the truth and against authority. What does the word rebel mean? It's from the Latin rebellious. It just means returning to war. Contention and strife. Not just against another brother, not just against someone in the world, but against authority. A returning of war against authority. Because there was a time when everyone in this room was a rebel against God and against His authority. There was no greater rebel in this room than I was. I hated God, though I wouldn't have admitted it to you. I hated all authority, government authority, police authority, whether it be politicians or my parents. I had a disdain for authority because the Spirit of God did not live in me. There was no righteousness in me. And I was given over to the spirit of rebellion. A rebel is one who openly renounces the authority of government or by taking arms and openly opposing it. Through actions, or thoughts, or words, resisting authority is rebellion. Look at Korah. Nathan and Abiram, who resisted the God-ordained authority of Moses, and they were destroyed. They resisted the truth. They resisted what they knew was right. They didn't just show up one day. They were with Israel when they left Egypt. And they resisted the truth, knowing that Moses was the authority. And when truth is rejected, one will inevitably turn to the entertaining of their own thoughts. Paul said, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." It's referring to his pre-conversion experience, or to his pre-conversion. Referring to the fact that before, everything he did was rebellion against God. "I thought to do many things contrary." But he was delivered. God used him. The Bible says in Isaiah, "I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts." Rebellion is self-will. This is the way I see it, and I'm going to do it this way. I care not what the authorities say. I care not what the laws are. Second Peter says, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government." That just means to think against authority. "Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities." The Bible says they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Not afraid to speak against dignities. What does that mean? Well, dignities is the Greek word doxas. I believe this speaks of opinions and judgments put forth by godly authority. Now, most of the commentators disagree with me. You can decide what you want on the issue, but I think that's what it's speaking to, because it fits the context so well. There are those that don't like the rules, and they let it be known. Adam Clark says of this, speaking evil of dignities, "They are lawless and disobedient, spurn all human authority, and speak contemptuously of all legal and civil jurisdiction. Those in general despise governments and speak evil of dignities, who wish to be under no control, that they may act as freebooters in the community." You see, this is what a rebel is. I want my way, and I'm going to throw a fit if I don't get it. If we are not thinking biblically, if we don't look into the Scriptures to find out what the Scriptures say about every individual circumstance, and they do speak to everything we can think of, we can find principle or precept, if not direct command, about everything in life in the Scriptures. And if we're not thinking biblically, we're thinking rebelliously.
Right.
Korah and the rest were instructed in the ways of God. They saw the Red Sea open up. They saw the fire come down on top of the mount. They saw the pillar of fire over the tabernacle. They experienced the miracle of the manna. And yet, "You take too much upon yourself, Moses. Let us handle things. You're doing it wrong. We need to do things our way. Did you bring us out here in the wilderness to kill us? Didn't you bring us out of Egypt, that land flowing with milk and honey?" Oh, what a bizarre conception. What a bizarre idea. Forced bondage is better than following the will of God. Once someone has embraced their own thoughts, And those thoughts are twisted and turned and manipulated by the enemy. Once they've embraced their own high thoughts, instead of casting them down, they will exalt their own individuality and think nothing of it. They go forth and... Look out in the world. They go forth and spread their vile and putrid individuality under all our noses. Hey, just look the other way. That's what they say. It's rebellion. It's disgusting. It's a stench. Look here in verse 3 of our text. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, "You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy." Now, is that right? Is that so? Every one of them. And the Lord is among them. Really? "Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." Who do you think you are, Moses? You know, as we must be in this world, it's hard enough to raise our children in holiness without having to deal with some pseudo-spiritual nonconformist stretching the lines of decorum and etiquette in the name of self-expression. I'm going to be me. Well, okay. Think of Korah, Nathan, and Abiram. All the children of the congregation watching this mess unfold. You think the other children of Israel had concerns about protecting their children in the midst of this rebellion? I think so. You know, my own children, they ask me questions. I have family members who are not right with God. Well, what about Uncle So-and-so? He's a rebel. I'm not going to hide it. It's right out in the... Yes, he is a rebel against God. He does not like God. He does not like His law. He is fighting against God. He is resisting truth. And he is imagining things in his own mind that aren't right. Yes, absolutely. That's what's wrong with him. He needs to repent and get right with God.
Right.
I'm not going to hide that. What if I try to hide the fact that most of my family are rebels against God? Well, my children would see not too much wrong with them. They are, after all, very nice. Yeah, they're nice. Some of them are. But that doesn't dictate whether you've been submitted to God or not. There's a lot of nice people out there. I know a lot of nice people that are on their way to hell. Self-expression. You know, that's what the hippie culture was all about.
Yeah.
Self-expression. That's what the feminist movement was about. Right. We'll have our rights! Yeah, it's no different today. You got the hip-hop general, all that kind of foolishness. All that subculture garbage. That's what it is. Submit to God. Now, listen to me. I'm not talking about variations in personality. That's not what I'm talking about. Every one of us are different in that way. Every one of us have unique personalities that can be used by God to do what? To exalt Him. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about dubious expressions of individuality. You know, they put the hat on backwards. Were they made to be worn that way? No. Well, why do they wear them that way? Because they're rebels.
Right.
I'm going to wear it this way because it's not supposed to be worn this way. That's what the hippie culture taught us. Tattoos and piercings. Now they got their britches dragging the ground when they ought to be up above, around their waists. That's not individuality. That's not distinctive character traits. It's the nature of the devil.
Right.
It's the same with all rebellion. You see it in your children? Nip that thing. Nip it out.
Amen.
If we allow that to grow, guess what? They'll have their hat on back. And don't you think that one day if we don't nip rebellion in the bud, they're going to be walking around with their britches down by their knees. The Bible says in 3 John, "Wherefore are we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, priding against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church." Now what a rebel is Diotrephes. Diotrephes, he wasn't so much concerned with the truth, was he? He didn't care too much about the truth. He couldn't care less about the decorums and standards set by the apostles. Oh no, no. He's just going to have his way. I'm going to do it my way. This is how things are going to work around here. John's not here. Anybody who sends to me, I'm just going to... No, we're going to do things my way. Preeminence means ambitious of distinction. It's one of the definitions. It's what I'm going to use here today. Ambitious of distinction. Why did Diotrephes not receive the instruction of the church leaders? He said, hey, no, this is the way things are going to go here. It's the way I am. It's how I've always done things. I'm not changing. I'm going to do it my way. This is how it's going to happen here. Rebel. Just labeling rebel, that's all he was. You know, they have a big teaching these days in secular psychology about self-esteem. Oh, their problem is they just need more self-esteem. No, that is their problem. They have too much self-esteem. They need more self-esteem. What is that? It's ludicrous. It's ridiculous. I need to love me more so that I can love you more. No. Now, you need to have self-respect, don't get me wrong. You need to do what you can to uphold yourself in the eyes of Christ so that you're a good example and a good testimony before men of the Lord Jesus. But more self-esteem? Rebels, of course, when they have spewed forth their expression, will seek out approval by entreating sympathy from others. I want some sympathy. I need sympathy. They're not treating me well. They're not being nice to me. Rebels will clump together and seek out those of a kindred nature. Birds of a feather flock together, they say.
Right.
Don't we all know that's true? It's an indication that rebellion is contagious.
That's right.
Rebellion can suck in people that weren't initially rebellious to begin with.
Right.
Just by entertaining and giving credence to any of those thoughts. Oh, those poor people. Because see, that's what a rebel does. He tries to entreat a little sympathy. Oh, and then it pulls on the heartstrings of some people, and then some people, oh, those poor people. And it draws them away. The devil's deceitful. The devil's devious. And if a rebel cannot find someone to join his little clique, he'll do everything he can to legitimize his own agenda. He'll make his own rebellion and his own sedition. He'll just try to make it sound reasonable. He'll just make it reasonable. You know, what's wrong with wearing a cap backwards? I mean, come on, please. What's the matter with that? You have chapter and verse for that? What kind of rule is that anyway? Yeah, it's kind of a silly rule. Can't wear your hat back. What is that about? You're not harming anybody. There is nothing wrong with wearing your hat backwards. Really? Was it made to wear backwards? Expression. It's an expression of rebellion. That's all it is.
Right.
Whether it starts with a hat on backwards and instigates to your britches dropping below your knees, or whether it's just something in the heart that just refuses to come under authority, I just don't like that. I just want to do it my way. It's still rebellion.
Right.
It's still rebellion. There is no way to sympathize with rebellion. You can't do it. Those that try, they get sucked in. Like I just said, start pulling on the heartstrings. And I've known some rebels that all they cry the biggest crocodile tears. Make it sound all so pathetic. And unless we're diligent to see and to watch, we get sucked into that. We will get sucked into that.
Right.
I have almost been sucked into it. Praise God, I was kept from it. You can't sympathize with a rebel. You can give them everything they want, change all the rules, adapt the standards, bend over backwards. Guess what? All you've done is appease the devil. All you've done is compromise and step a little bit farther to the left. Hold the banner high. Lift it up. No apologies. No excuses. This is the way it is. And that's it. Korah, you see, gathered a bunch of people with him. Pulled on the heartstrings of the children of Israel. Got 250 of the chief princes. They all went to Moses. This is how rebels work intimidation. We were talking about intimidation a little earlier with Goliath. Rebels work intimidation. That's where the witchcraft comes in. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, the Bible says. It works through intimidation. And that's what Korah and those tried to do. They were working intimidation through to Moses and to Aaron. Moses, he did the right thing. Was it at least two or three times there? Said he fell on his face. Amen. Glory to God. He did the right thing.
Amen.
Rebels will always play the victim.
Right.
Always. I'm just victimized. I'm not the one at fault. They are. We're just as holy as you are, Moses. Oh, we're all holy. You know, that is, just somebody coddle me in my rebellion. Somebody pamper me in my rebellion. They're not being loving. They're not loving me enough. Disgusting. Brings up the story of Ahab, who wanted that vineyard of Naboth, didn't he? And he said unto her, you know the story. He went to Naboth, I want that vineyard. I'll do anything. I'll pay for it. I'll buy you another vineyard. Whatever you want. But I want that one. Why? Because he is spoiled. He's a rebel. He wanted that one. That's the one I want. Right there. I'm going to get it too. So Jezebel saw him all sad and upset because Naboth was being so ugly to him. What's wrong, Ahab? He said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give it. Give thee my vineyard. How mean. I spoke nicely to him. He still wouldn't give me my way. A pathetic little reprobate. That's what he is. You know, that kind of attitude is just sickening. You know, no wonder God says, because you're lukewarm, I want to vomit you out of my mouth. You're making me sick. Either get on fire and get hot for God, or just go back to the world and be cold.
Amen.
Don't play your little religious games with me, God said.
Yeah.
Sickening. But you see, look what happens when someone pampers and mollifies rebellion. These dismal little rebels who want their way, if we pamper them and give them what they want, guess what happens? What happened first? Conspiracy. Jezebel went and got a lot of people together with her. Then she defamed Naboth's character. Let's just tear him down. And through that, there was a universal consensus. This guy's terrible. What a horrible guy, that Naboth. And then they killed him. Works the same today. Conspiracy. Rebels getting together. Conspiring against God-ordained authority. Start defaming character, talking about people behind their backs. And some people have asked me, why don't you defend people, certain people? And you know, there's a quote in John Fletcher's book where the Calvinists were attacking John Wesley. And he said, "Should I not defend who I call a friend, lest he be stabbed in the face, as he already has been in the back?" Defamation of character. And then there becomes a universal consensus. Everybody in the town hated Nabal. All that Nabal couldn't keep his cows off other people's pastures and all kinds of things. Universal consensus. And then death. Sometimes it's not a physical death. Sometimes the defamation of character and the murdering of character is worse. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, "Everyone that is proud in heart..." You can just put rebel right there because that's what it's talking about. That's what it is. Same thing. "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join his hand, he shall not be unpunished." A rebel, whether he bands together with other rebels or if on his own, he'll reject the truth and the real love found in God-ordained authorities. He'll entertain his own thoughts to his own destruction. He'll broadcast his poison around and attempt to elicit sympathy and help. And will eventually find himself leaving the refuge. The Bible says in John chapter 6, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said..." This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? "When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." Leaving the refuge. And like what he said, "What I speak to you is spirit and is truth." No. We'll go somewhere else. Rather than submitting to the truth, the rebel will refuse instruction, will go back, walk no more with the light. He'll leave his only refuge. Just like earlier there in that passage in Numbers that we read, they said, "Oh, this Moses. Let us make a captain and go back to Egypt. Let's go." You know that land flowing with milk and honey? That's the one. A rebel would lie to himself and return to bondage. He'd rather do that than just to cling to the refuge of the truth and safety. You know, he's already been conversing with himself and thinking many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. So now he's convinced himself. "I'll just return to bondage. It was better there." Remember how they turned Egypt into that land of milk and honey there? Land of milk and honey that you brought us out of. The leeks, the onions, and the garlics. It was so wonderful there. You're trying to kill us here in the desert. To the rebel, even forced bondage looks better than submission to the way. There's one way. We're either going to walk in submission to it, over rebels against it. That's it. It's plain and simple. Jesus doesn't try to hide anything from us. He's not deceiving us. He's told us, this is the way, walk therein. Oh, but what did Peter say when the others had left? Jesus said, oh, are you going to go too? Well, when we go, you are the one that has the words of eternal life. I'm casting everything behind me that's behind it. This is a new thing here with you. I'm staying with you. My old man is gone.
Amen.
I can see clearly enough to know that you are the light and this is the way I'm going. How many of those people that resisted light and walked the other way, how many of them just loved God? Zero. None of them. Don't be deceived. No rebel loves God. No rebel is right with God. You go out there. Go look. Go look in the world. Pick one rebel out there that's right with God. Pick one man with a carnal mind that's right with God. You'll never find him. There is no rebel that's right with God. Just like there's no Buddhist. There's no Jehovah's Witness. There's no Mormon. There's no practicing Roman Catholic that's right with God, never has been, never will be. There's something called repentance, putting away the old man and walking in newness of life that must take place. They're all rebels. They're all rejecters of truth. All haters of the Logos of God. You know, it doesn't matter what a rebel calls himself. It doesn't matter if he calls himself a Baptist or a Methodist or a Mennonite. It doesn't matter. If he's a rebel, he's not right with God.
Right.
How many of these churches that we can look out here, look at the landscape, survey this, just the area of Brookfield, how many of these churches are filled with rebels against God? If they're all pious on Sundays and ready to tear each other's throat out on Monday. No rebel is right with God. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Just a group of rebels he's describing there. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but I utterly loathe rebels. I have seen the mayhem and the destruction left behind by rebels. I have seen a man and his wife come into a congregation and literally cut that thing to pieces. Cast people out of the way. Now, I'm talking about a rebel who was closely watched too. I'm not talking about somebody that was just hiding everything he did, or that everything he did was hidden. This was a man that was closely watched, and yet in the end, much destruction. Two or three thrown out of the way. Another family, man and his wife, split. Praise God through much prayer. That man's wife, the ones that were split by the rebels, repented, returned to her husband. And right now she's one of the most humble people I think I know. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But those people were exposed and shown forth as what they were, as rebels. Which may be one of the things that caused her to step back and think about what was happening. Utter destruction. Didn't have to be. But somebody wanted their own way. Some fella that thought, well, I know how to run this church better than the pastor does. I think I'll take over the ministry to the people. Undermine authority. Undermine the vision of the church. Undermine everything. I've seen other rebels pull in others. Cause disruption. You know, that's the sad thing. Generally, rebels, you know, they think they've got everybody fooled. You know, but anybody with the discernment of a rock can see rebel flashing in neon above their head. And a rebel, it doesn't matter where they are. Out in the world, if it's a rebel, in Walmart, if it's a rebel in church, if it's a rebel, wherever they are, they're all the same. They're no different than those hippies that were kicking against establishment in the 1960s. No different. I don't like it the way it is, so I'm going to change everything. No. A rebel is somebody that does not like to be told what to do. He's going to do his own thing. Will have his way. And woe unto any authority that acquiesces to any demand of a rebel. That's why this government is in the shape it's in. That's why the judicial system can't even execute its own laws. Because they have been given over to rebellion themselves.
Right.
Consensus or consension made to a rebel is itself rebellion. That's why this country is in the shape it's in. When rebellion is not dealt with swiftly, it will spread and bring destruction upon the entire camp. You look there with Moses and Nathan, or Dathan and Abiram and Korah. You look at that. God, no, we're taking them out. You know, Moses even tried to deal with those stiff-necked people because of their rebellion. The entire nation missed a swift entrance into the promised land. And the older generation all died in the wilderness. All of them. They all died in the wilderness. Even Miriam. Even Aaron. Even Moses. Died in the wilderness. All because a group of rebels couldn't be satisfied. That was a rebellious group of people. How Moses did. I don't know. You know, I sit here and think, I mean, maybe it's to my own. I don't know. God said, I'm going to move out of the way. I'm going to, okay, go ahead. I don't know. You think about that. Could I have fallen on my face and pled for him? Oh, God, please, no, don't. What will Pharaoh say? No. I don't know what I would have done. But oh, how easy it would have been. Go ahead. I agree with you. Take them out. Every last one of them. You want to start again with me? Let's go. I don't know. Rebels or rebellion is a cancer that must be cut out. It's not a game. It's not something we trifle with. It needs to be squashed. Korah. Swallowed up in the earth. Oh, how... What an impression that would have made. Should have made on the rest of... The next day, Moses, you killed the man of God! And so what did God do? He sent a plague throughout the camp. A bunch of rebels. You rebellious nation! Rebels have no integrity. They have no character. Is there no hope for a rebel? Daniel chapter 9, verse 9 says, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 26 and 27 says that they were disobedient and rebelled against thee and cast thy law behind my back, their backs. When they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. Did you hear that? When they cried unto Him, repentance, supplication, prayer. Yeah, there's hope. There's hope for a rebel.
Right.
It's right there. And they cried unto Him. The only thing that a rebel can do is to fall down on his face before a holy and a just God. Repent of his rebellion. Submit in humble compliance to all things whatsoever he has commanded. Cling unto the refuge.
Amen.
There's no other option. Typically, a rebel would like to try to, I can take care of this on my own. I can do this. No. No, you're not going to take care of anything. If fervent zeal for God and the Spirit of truth does not consume us, then the spirit of rebellion will.
Right.
If we are passionate for God, full of the Holy Ghost, then we will have a healthy fear of authority. Oh, absolutely. No God-fearing man is not going to have a healthy fear of authority. Otherwise, he is submission just a distasteful thing. Like that manna. Oh, we got it, this manna. He gave us something else to eat. He gave them quail. That's what they wanted. So it came out of their noses. You know, we really ought to think about really what we want. I'm satisfied with the manna of God. It's all I want. It's all I desire. Remember, submission doesn't even really begin until there's a conflict between our own desires and the instructions of authority. That's when submission starts. That's where it comes. Submission is the act of yielding to power or authority. It's obedience. Compliance with the commands or laws of a superior, a yielding to one's will, to the will of or appointment of a superior without murmuring. Oh, that's interesting. Entire and cheerful submission to the will of God is a Christian duty of prime excellence, says Mr. Webster. Whether it's general submission, you know, just laws of the land, submission to authorities out there, whether it's filial submission to the parents, children being in subjection to the parents, whether it's ecclesiastical, whether it's submission to church authority. Submission is the act of yielding to that power. Rebellion, if not consciously watched for, rebellion, if not careful of, if we're not real careful of it, watching for it in our hearts, this is like a seed. This is like these pigweeds that are growing out here. They tell me they grow 1 to 2 inches a day minimum. It's outrageous. But let the seeds of rebellion be planted in our hearts. And it won't take long. We can turn around and cast a glance at our fields and it'll be full of nothing but weeds.
Right.
We have to be diligent and watchful for these things in our own hearts. Be diligent and watchful for that man out there doing something he ought not so to do. Let me tell you something. It's not going to be a decision I have to think hard about. Should I tell my children whether or not that's wrong? I don't think 2 seconds about it. I'm going to point it out that it's wrong. You know, what's alarming to me is not that there exists so many rebels meandering up and down the halls of Christendom. That really doesn't alarm me. I kind of expect that. You know, for the devil, especially in this hour, to try to insert and twist his dagger of disorder among the body of Christ. It's kind of expected. What alarms me is that they are left to ply their poisonous wares among the wheat. Oh, what's worse, they're so very often just simply appeased or ignored. Do you think I'm going to ignore First Baptist or whatever it is down here that put signs on their banner saying, "God on film"? I'm going to preach to you how we found God in Hollywood's filthy movies. Now, is that... No, I'm going to point to Noah and say, "No, you see that right? That's blasphemy." Yet how many even conservative Christians will just drive by there and go, some of them might shake their head. Most of them ignore it. I'm not doing that. If it went one more week, well, what if? Anyway, rebellion is an issue that you have to watch not only in the world, that we have to watch not only among the church, not only within Christendom, but we have to watch it within our own hearts. If we are not fully and completely and 100% lined up with the Word of God, we better look for some rebellion in our hearts and find out what is the problem. What part of me wants to have preeminence? And put that thing to death.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Father, for Your Word and Your truth. We ask You, Lord, to find it in Your heart, Lord, to touch each one of us. Father, that we might examine ourselves, that we might check everything, every thought that comes into our minds, Lord. That we might watch every word, Father, every action, that it would be to Your benefit. And everything that we do, Father, would be to glorify You and to glorify Your name. Help us, Lord God, to guard against things that might encroach upon us, to guard against rebellion in our hearts, to guard against every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Give us strength this day, Lord, to follow You and to obey You wholeheartedly and completely. That everything we do be calculated and done to Your pleasure. Father, we thank You, we adore You, we love You this day, Father, and just ask Your help as we continue along this pilgrim way. In Jesus' name, amen.